When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Dear Edward podcast here on Pro Show Recaps. My name is Marissa Garza and I'm here with the one and only Jason Reed. Jason, I don't know how many times I have to tell you, but I really have to clean out the storage unit by the end of the month. So I just had you on this podcast to tell you that we got to clean it out by the end of the month.
Yeah, I don't have 1,000 other ways to contact you and to let you know, but I felt like I had to come here in person for the only reason I came to find you was to tell you to get your crap out of my storage unit. I found no other way to tell you, although you did give me your phone number, your email, your Twitter, your TikTok, your Venmo. I just had to come tell you in person. The worst weird pickup line in history.
I mean, what a weird happenstance, I guess, of like meeting someone. You cover a lot of dating shows. Has that been one that you've seen before where they've put people in storage unit scenarios?
Storage units at first sight. No, I've not gotten that one yet, but that I'm writing that down though. I'm putting that under my list of development for we get your interests together. Yeah. And we get a storage unit full of your interests, We put two people that have the same interests in the same storage room.
Storage unit, and yes, move over, Lachey.
And then as they both walk in, we come and we put down the storage unit door, and we trap you in there together 5 days, and we see what happens. And
love they don't the storage.
They don't know that it's happening. But they both enter. They're like, oh, there's some stuff we like in here. And then we run in and close the door. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, you're trapped here for 5 days until you fall in love.
Sounds totally legal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to sign a waiver. It has to work.
It's not kidnapping at all.
The only other show I've covered with storage units is National Treasure, Edge of History. There was a big storage unit there. But that's it. Not very often do you see a storage unit.
Was it like Nick Cage's storage unit?
Oh, and in You. There was a storage unit in You. So I guess storage units are more popular than I thought. So it could work. Anyway, before we get into episode 6 of Dear Edward, titled Truth, I do just want to remind everyone that this show is on Apple TV+. We have our own feed at posturecaps.com/Dear Edward, where you can catch coverage of all 10 episodes. We are currently on episode 6, so after this, we will have 3 more to go. I cannot believe we're that far. And we've got new stuff to talk about. So without further ado, let's jump in. This episode starts... I'm just loving Dee Dee's vibe, like this entire episode, just in general, but like this episode, she's just very like, this is my life now.
I love how she goes from like, you know, bookkeeper, you know, looking at documents to just 0 to 60 in like in no time, and just like starts just banging like a wall with a hammer. And just like, you know what, I think I need a hammer break. I'm gonna,
yeah.
as I see my life crumble before me in these bank statements, I'm gonna go ahead and just beat the hell out of this wall.
Yeah, and like she doesn't care. Like I just love that she just doesn't care. Her entire house is like covered in hammer marks.
It's
like,
not gonna be her house pretty soon.
Yeah,
so
I know. I guess she found that, like, what was it called? Smash It or something? I guess she found that like very therapeutic.
Like the rec room, I think it was the call. Like, where's the smash bunch of stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. Edward is meeting up with Shay. They're about to meet up with Mahira, I think was her name, at the MOP. We finally find out where Edward and Shay live. They live in Nyack.
Nyack.
Thank you.
I think we knew that, but I think it was very spelled out in this in this episode. Yeah, Nyack.
Nyack.
New York. It's like, what is that, like, I don't know, upstate New York? Was that what they would call that?
I don't know. I don't live out there. I don't know. I couldn't even say Nyack Yak.
Nyack Yak. It's a Nyack. We're just going to call it Nyack Yak from now on.
Edward is like super nervous this entire time. They're waiting to meet up with her. And I was not expecting this whole situation. I don't know what they're trying. Okay. Let me get my thoughts together. So, like, Mahira walks in and her hair is like all windblown, and we get like the very nervous
slow-mo entrance.
Hey, like so awkward.
You just know there's someone standing under her with a fan to make her hair blow that way, and we got to slow-mo this entrance. Eddie, not cool, bro. I know that this is violence, bro code. I know that your brother is dead. But you still cannot go after his girl. Like, that's bro code, man.
Like, I think what this episode was trying to tell us is that, like, emotions are just being, like, projected in the wrong directions, or, like, in not appropriate places under normal circumstances. But because this is grief, you know, like, things can get messed up. But I know that because I've read a lot about grief. I don't know if, like, the normal, like, I don't know how this is coming off if you're not informed about grief.
It violates bro code. That's how it comes off. Like, dude, that's not cool, Eddie. Not cool, my guy.
It's like, all of a sudden he's in love with her. Like, an episode earlier, it was like, why did you come to my house? Or why did you, like, he's annoying to her. And now it's like, oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with you. So
all of a sudden, since we find out that she's, you know, his brother's girlfriend, she's so hot now to Eddie.
Yeah. And Shay is not having it. Shay is not happy with this reaction at all. She can totally pick up on the vibes, especially because Edward introduces her as my neighbor. You are sleeping in this girl's room. Oh, like,
he was like, excuse me? All of a sudden, I'm just a neighbor? Like, not even your friend? I'm just a neighbor? Like, do neighbors just come, like, hang out with you and go meet your dead brother's girlfriend? Is that what neighbors do? I don't think so. I'm at very least a very close best friend to you, not a neighbor.
No kidding. I felt so bad for, like, I'm glad Shay, like, just didn't take it. She let it be known. And, like, the whole plan here is to sneak into the museum. And Shay's for it. Edward's a little nervous, but because Mahira's there, oh my gosh, he can finally like break the rules. It was
why are we sneaking into the museum?
Well, how much do you think it costs to get into this museum? Like $2?
I think Shay mentioned it was 30 later.
Oh yeah.
Well, maybe that's why.
I wouldn't $30
I think Eddie's probably a little rich. You know what I mean? I think he's probably got some money. He's the miracle boy. I think he got some of his family's money. I think he could have fit the bill. I mean, they did come there last time, right? Him and Shay just like paid to go in last time, so I don't know what the big deal is.
I don't know. I was just not expecting this entire interaction. I was just like,
yeah, it was off. Okay. It was weird.
We're here now. Back at Adriana's house, they're walking out of the house, and there's this cute little interaction between Adriana and Vex. They're fee-fi-fo-fumming it.
They're just such a happy family.
They it's are.
Like, jeez. Like, I was thinking what Kojo is like, gonna like, you know, vocalize later.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, cause they are like two peas in a pod. They are attached at the hip. They're fee-fi-fo-ming it along. And like, Kojo's staying back, like, just looking at, like, oh my gosh. And, Vex is in a play and really wants Adriana to join in, and see her. She wants her to see a new costume, like, this whole thing. I didn't even know, like, good for Vex's, like, development that she's, like, in school and in a play. Like, that's very, speaks a lot to her supportive.
Well, like, she was probably in that same school, I would think.
Yeah, but she like started off like not talking for like two episodes.
Yeah, so... but then she met Adriana, and Adriana fixed everything for some reason.
She's the miracle mom? Question mark?
She's a child whisperer, I guess.
I guess.
The grief whisperer.
Speaking of grief, we go to grief group and Dee Dee finds Steve sleeping on the floor.
What? So many things in this series and this episode just made me go, huh? That was a choice.
Yeah. Okay. Sleeping on the floor. Andy's got a black eye.
I was like, did Amanda or like, does he like it rough? Does Amanda like it rough? Was that in the midst of the lovemaking? Like,
how did we get here?
Yeah. Like, what happened?
Dee Dee is like, oh, let me take you and clean you up. This is where we learn that he was in a bar fight.
Show, I would have liked to see that. Like, where is that scene? Why did you cut it if you filmed it? And why would you not film it if you're going to tell us he got into a bar fight? We want to see that.
Dee Dee is not buying it. But then he's like, I couldn't face my fiance and I deserved a punch in the face, so I instigated a bar fight.
Okay, Steve, go off, son.
Like, I guess that's the way to do it. And he definitely had too much to drink the night before because he like pukes all over Dee Dee. And
she's like, oh, great, splashed. Fantastic.
I like that she says that her coat is like so last season. And I'm like, you really need that coat though, because you can't buy it.
You need to sell
coat.
That thing. Like, you need money.
Yeah. She's gonna get Steve some water and a cupcake, and then like Steve is contemplating the church, and I was like, are we gonna try to faith up this story too? Like, I didn't know what was happening with this whole thing. It just seemed a little out of place.
Is Steve maybe already a man of faith and he's like, oh my bad, God, sorry. I kind of messed up.
I don't know.
I'm sure that's one of your commandments. I don't remember.
One of them.
Don't you know your wife or your fiance. I'm sure that's one of them.
And
one
like,
of those stone tablets.
Something about getting in bar fights, I'm sure, is also in there.
Don't punch your fellow man, I'm sure, is one of them. Something like that.
Back at the museum, Shay is like interrogating Mihira, like just asking all of the questions. She's like super confused about like the whole situation. Mihira and Edward like sneak off, and this is where Mihira tells Edward that Jordan was her boyfriend.
Up until this moment, I was like, is Mihira for real? Was she really Jordan's boyfriend, or is she just some kind of like kooky like person that is claiming Jordan was her boyfriend because she like she gets off on like, you know,
she wants to be close to the miracle boy or something?
Yeah, I was like, is this real? And then she tells us like something later that will confirm that it was real. But I was like, at this moment, I was like, this feels fishy. This feels weird.
You know what else was weird is she was like, right there is where we had our first kiss. And then they show Edward seeing them kiss. And I was like, what is happening?
I'm sure he's imagining what it looked like.
Yeah, but like we didn't. It's weird.
It's weird for your little brother to imagine what your big brother's first kiss
was
like.
You're already like coveting her as like, speaking of like commandments.
I was surprised he'd replace like Jordan with himself like at some point. Like,
I really thought like when we first were going to like flash forward, flash sideways, flash back territory, I was like, are we gonna see Edward here? No, okay, phew, it's Jordan. And then I was like, oh, but that's still weird.
That's weird.
And Edward's like, well, why didn't you tell me? Like, we tell each, or why didn't Jordan tell me? We tell each other everything. And Mahira's like, it's my fault because I couldn't, my family didn't want me like dating anyone. And of course, Edward takes this as like, Jordan hated me or something.
Of course, Eddie has, automatically. Eddie has to make it all about Eddie.
Automatically.
I'm sorry, Eddie. I understand you've gone through a lot, but it's not all about you, my man, okay?
And she's like, no, he loved you more than anything, but he needed his own life. And, you know, and that's why he wanted to go to school. Didn't I explain this to you in my letter? And he's like, what letter?
What? A letter? What?
You wrote me a letter. Maybe she went to the wrong house. We don't know. Like, she's like, she's also confused. Shay totally hates the museum now. Like, she wants nothing to do with it. She's like, can we go? I do not want to be here. This is dumb.
Shay has caught herself some feelings. And it's cute to see.
Yeah. And then begins what I think, I don't know. Again, I have not been in this situation. I thankfully have not had anyone close to me involved in a very large disaster. Mm-hmm. However, I don't see myself asking survivors if they could tell me about that day out of respect for the survivor who is dealing with their own trauma. But Hira's like, hey, can you tell me about the flight? And I just was like, excuse
me. It's like he just got off the airplane from like a regular trip. Like, how was the flight? Like, no, like this was traumatic for me. I don't want to relive that. Thank you. Like, I know that you for like, and first of all, it's weird to want to know all the details about how you crashed. How, like, did you see my boyfriend get ripped limb from limb by flying debris? Like, how was that? How badly were you injured? Like, I wouldn't even want to know.
No.
I would probably be picturing it in my mind in nightmares and like freak out about it. And I wouldn't want details.
Like, if Edward wanted to tell me, I would, if he brought it up, he's bringing it up for his own processing, his own thing. But like, he lost three people and lived through this thing. She lost one person. And
they have seen unimaginable sights, like, yes, as he is in the plane crashing. Why would you want to traumatize this poor boy any further by reliving that? And he doesn't get asked this not once but twice this episode.
Yeah. And like, what I'm trying to put myself in Mahira's shoes. Like, what comfort does that give her? Like, what, how does that help her healing in the situation? And I can't find anything. I mean,
I think what Eddie tells her later,
yeah,
I think would give you some comfort if you heard it like Eddie brought it to her.
Yeah,
but I don't think you would go looking for that. Like,
yeah,
hey, tell me everything. Like, I don't see myself asking that question. Like you said, I just don't see it.
Yeah, at this point, he's not ready to say anything, so he's like, I blacked out, which totally responsible, like totally mm-hmm. fair response on Eddie's part. So I could not believe it. I was flabbergasted that this was something that we saw, as you said, twice in this episode. Over at Grief Group, we learned that Linda, for those of you who don't remember, is the pregnant member of our grief group. She's getting cut at work. She's basically saying, you know, like, you can't fire someone who's pregnant, but you can basically cut down their hours so they're not getting paid as much. And she feels like invisible with her roommates. She's 6 months pregnant and she doesn't know how this happened because they were super cautious. And then we get Lacey saying like, hey, oh, do you need some stuff? Yeah, I might have some stuff for you.
In the moment where Linda was like, you know, I don't know how this happened. It just, oops, happened. We were super cautious and we just got a freaking baby. I was looking at like Lacey's face as like she was talking. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, Lacey probably is in her feelings right now because she has been trying or super hard to get one. And, you know, she didn't get one when she was trying, but Linda just pops up with one as she, when she's not even trying to get one. So I definitely saw that. I wasn't sure which way Lacey was going to go with it. Was it going to be a, you know, shaming Linda for speaking so like so cavalierly about like not wanting a baby but getting one, or was she going to like embrace Linda? And she really embraces Linda. We'll find out later. But yeah, she does like, you know, offer her the baby. So I was like, oh, that's a really sweet gesture of Lacey. And it's in this, like, and to talk about the episode, like, as a whole, like, I did enjoy the fact that we got more interplay between the whole grief group.
Yeah.
I do wish it was sooner. Like, I wish we didn't get to over halfway of the season being done before we got more, like, interplay and community between the group.
Yep.
But I am enjoying what we're getting from that aspect of it.
Yeah, because I think a big part of something like this is the community that can come together and support each other during this. This shows that they are building trust within grief group and are able to help each other outside of it.
And I thought, like, as we were, like, preparing to watch, like, the show at the start of the season, I thought that's what we were going to get. I thought it was going to be a big ensemble type, like, you know, like a Parenthood, like a Friday Night Lights, like a This Is Us, where everyone kind of was in each other's story, a lot. But, you know, up until now, it felt like we had gotten very separate storylines, as we've talked about all season. But finally, everyone's kind of intermingling, and I do enjoy that part of it. I don't even need Kojo and Adriana to intermingle. They are like, I am loving their story. I'm happy with that bubble of story over there, but I'm enjoying the other people kind of, you know, cutting in and out of each other's lives.
I feel like they're their own show.
Like, yeah, give them a spinoff.
Yeah. I feel like it's like, oh yeah, they're here. And then also these other people. Speaking of Adriana and Kojo, they have also left grief group. And this is where Adriana's campaign manager comes up. It's like, hey, look, you've got to go to the NYU Young Democrats. We're adding a bunch of the schedule. And she's concerned because this conflicts with the school play that she promised Bex that she would attend. And her campaign manager's like, look, this is major league. And this is where we get Kojo's like, you're getting too close to her. You know, and I, again, Uncle of the Millennium Award for Kojo, because he's so aware and really taking really good care of his niece, and says, you're getting too close to her. She just lost her mom. She's growing really attached. I see what's happening. We're going to Ghana. You're going to become a congresswoman. Maybe we shouldn't be around you so much anymore.
And I mean, I don't know why Adriana hasn't thought about this herself before. Like,
'cause she's blinded by love.
Bonded by love and, you know, the ability to help, I guess, she's passionate about, but you're almost like this girl's mother in her eyes. And so once we leave, how do you think Bex is going to feel about leaving, you know, her new surrogate mother? Very responsible of Kojo to realize what we have been realizing for the past, you know, three or so episodes. Like, it's going to be rough when you have to rip Bex away from Adriana, because I mean, she seems to like Adriana even more than she likes Kojo. So can you imagine what it's going to be like when Kojo's like, okay, let's leave this nice lady now, you'll never see her again probably. We'll FaceTime, I guess, but yeah, it's going to be tough. And I think it would be wise to start weaning Bex off of Adriana, if I can put it in those terms, slowly, so that by the time they get ready to leave, you know, it's not that, you know, it's not so big of a shock to Bex.
Yeah, and it seems as though Pastor Eric has kind of expedited the leaving Ghana situation, so it's gonna come sooner than later for the separation.
That guy is such a rascal, that Eric. Pastor Eric, that guy, I don't know how he got to be a pastor, but he's such a rascal, that guy.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I see what you're doing here. Speaking of things I did not see coming,
I saw it coming. When I saw Sam, I was like, oh, here we go. It's time for Sam's story.
Yeah, his name is Sam. I remember now. And then we're going to introduce a new character into the situation.
Six episodes into a 10 episode season. Why? We don't need it. We got so much other stuff we can do. I'm looking to cut story, not add more story. Yeah. I'm looking to get rid of Steve and Amanda. I'm not looking to add a Sam and Vernon. Come on, Shaw, what are you doing?
And like, in the most random way possible, we talked about it at the top, but like, Sam is going to a storage unit that was owned by Ben. I didn't even know he was at grief group for a Ben. Did we know this? I don't
know. I don't think he ever mentioned who he was there for. He just gives random, like one sentence advice to different people, like who are you again? Like, I just
was like, why
are you here?
Yeah. So anyway, Sam was really good friends with Ben from high school who died in the crash, and he had a storage unit together. And this storage unit Ben also let Vernon use as well.
Yeah, it was Ben's, right?
The storage unit is Ben's. And he's helping his grandma. Sam was helping clear it out.
This story makes even less sense now from what we know of Ben and Sam later. Like, okay, you probably saw the show if you're listening to this. Like, later, Sam would be like, we didn't do much, but the vibes were good. Like, then how are you helping his grandmother right now? Like, if you guys were not, like, boyfriend, why are you, like, how did you involve yourself with his grandmother? Like, have you been stalking his family since then? Like, what's going on?
It's just, like, the really good friend that comes over for dinner all of the time.
It feels weird. It feels.
Yeah. I feel like they had dice in the writer's room and were like, okay, location, roll the dice, storage unit. Okay. Who are we going to put there? Yeah. Sam. Okay. is this a creative writing project? I don't know. But there's definitely vibes between Sam and Vernon as they're talking about Ben. And Vernon is really intense because he's like, Ben was so beautiful.
Vernon is a free spirit, okay? Yeah, I'm here for Vernon. Vernon is good vibes. I'm down for Vernon. He takes advantage of friends' storage space by just randomly putting stuff in there, like a bike. I don't know. Yeah. I enjoyed Vernon. He was a nice guy. Sam was being really, really weird.
Sam is really concerned about having to close down this storage unit.
Like, really concerned.
Like, super concerned.
As if he has a type of stake in the storage unit. Like,
yeah. So he's
not even paying for the storage unit. Like, Ben's grandma is paying for the storage unit, but he acts like he is. This storage unit is his life is on a line. This storage unit does not get cleared out by the end of the month.
Yeah, it was really a lot there. And then Vernon does the whole hey, if you're so concerned about the storage unit, you're probably going to need my phone number.
Hey, give me your phone. if you need to talk about the storage unit or anything else.
Storage unit, if you know what I'm saying. And Sam's just like, no, I don't need to talk to you.
Sam is petrified. Sam is like, hey, I think everybody watching the scene probably felt
there were vibes.
What was going on here?
Yeah. Walk away. There was the walk away.
Yeah, without having to say it, we knew what was going on. We knew the things that were happening. But Sam is too afraid to entertain it at the moment.
Yes. Yes. Zoe and Dee Dee are going shopping for Zoe's trip around the world. They're going shopping for sleeping bags. And Zoe wants a $700 sleeping bag.
A $700 sleeping bag? If this thing costs $700, it should also be like a cloak of invisibility too.
The cost and spread it over the year, long you're gonna have it.
I have then, to amortize the cost of the sleeping bag.
Yeah, thanks for remembering the vocabulary word. But Dee Dee's like, listen, we're gonna have to tighten our budgets. Everything's fine. We're gonna have to tighten our budgets. And she's still not telling Zoe 100% what's going on. And I didn't really like this whole guilt trip thing. She's saying the money we saved was for you to go to college. Mm. So I don't want to spend this money on the sleeping bag. Just tell her what's happening. I don't, Zoe at this point says, he was my best friend. So I'm like, does Zoe know about her dad anyway?
Yeah, that was my question. I thought Dee Dee was gonna be well, if he's your best friend, did he tell you he was gay? Yeah. Did your best friend tell you that? I thought Dee Dee might go off there, but she didn't. She held it together. The more I see Zoe, the less I like her. I don't know why. It's just but Daddy would want me to spend the money to get it. And first of all, do you understand that your father, who was the source of income for your family, is gone?
Yeah.
Without mom having to tell her that, they're out of money, she should be how are we going to finance our lives now?
Yeah. I do like what Dee Dee says to her later, though, and she said, your father died. Mm-hmm. Remember this. Your father died, and I know you want to run away. I want to run away too, but we have to face the grief and the pain. And do you think this is Zoe just is okay, and gives up her wanting to travel? I don't know. We don't see Zoe in this
rest of the episode.
It wasn't clear. It was not clear if Zoe got the message or she's just like, whatever, mom, I'm stuck on a travel. So we don't know. We're not sure.
I don't know.
The show likes to leave out important details, like, in the moment. We've noticed.
Edward and Shay have made their way home from the museum. It is awkward city.
Edward has no idea, though. Edward is so oblivious to awkward vibes. Because the boy is so awkward himself, he does not understand when someone is, like not vibing with him in the moment.
Yes, yeah. And he's like, I need to apologize. And she's like, yeah.
He's like, yeah, you do. I'll wait for it. Come on, give it to me.
Tell me more. No, but to Mahira. What? No. And she's like, bye, you're an asshole, Edward. See you later.
And then we're just like, huh, that was weird. And just thinks nothing of it.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on. It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, going back to our favorite characters.
Oh, boy. This turned into like a Maury episode really quick. I was like, wow, I did not see this coming with Amanda and Steve. I didn't even see Amanda coming until episode 3 or 4. She didn't even breathe a word. She was like background character as much as Sam was a background character. I was like, oh, that's just another, that's like a red shirt. Like they just have them in there to fill out the scene. And
yeah.
Now she's a full-fledged character.
She's like 100% here at with characters who weren't even here at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. She brought in another guy. Like
and Daphne. So yeah. She still has this dinner.
Like Daphne more than I like these two.
Right.
Give me more Daphne.
Amanda's still gotta go to this dinner that she promised she would go to. So
does Daphne? She?
Yeah. Does she? Why did she have to go?
That's my question.
I was like, why are you going?
And you don't even have to ghost her. Just be like, sorry, I'm busy.
I can't make it. Yeah. Bye. But she shows up with like flowers and wine and all of the stuff. We find out, you know, that Steve is super rich. And he does ask, like, why are you here?
I love when he came out. She's like, oh, you're here. Like, why would you come here when you know that we just hooked up? Like, yesterday?
What are you doing? And I love the like whisper, whisper, whisper. It's like,
oh yeah, and Daphne's like, what the hell's going on here? As she walks into the room, like,
you know, from her perspective, she just like her fiance came home with a black eye from boxing lessons, and now we've got, you know, Amanda over for dinner, and they're whisper, whisper. Like, I'd be asking a lot of questions.
I would drop everything now. Okay, what's going on with you two? Like, Daphne was just like, let's carry on. I was like, nah. What? Why y'all two whispering? What's going on? Looks like some sexual tension over there is happening. I can feel it in the air. What's happening, you two? I did like Amanda was like oddly like concerned for Steve. She's like, why do you have a black eye?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. Maybe
are feelings there feelings too. There?
Maybe. I don't know. Not for long, I don't think. But you know.
Oh my gosh. Well, Daphne's like really trying to have this dinner. Like, she's trying real hard. And she's like, I just can't believe what you've become. If I lost Steve, I'd crumble into a million pieces. I'm like, oh, Daphne. Oh, just wait. And this is where we find out that Steve, like, Daphne thinks that Steve wanted to heal things with Brent. But then we also learn that Brent, like, went to try to do this. Brent being. For those of you who cannot remember, Brent being Amanda's fiance who was on the plane, did go to Steve and say, like, hey, I would like to make amends. And he was like, I'm too busy for you. Bye. And he also had a lot of resentment against Brent because he was there, like, left to take care for his mom while Brent was out, you know, being a junkie. And this, like, really, really made Amanda mad because he was, Brent was 18 months sober when he went to go see him, and like, you could have been kinder. And Steve's like, are you blaming me for this? It does turn into like, it's a good reality show moment.
Yeah, I was getting my popcorn. I was like, hey, y'all fight. This is actually pretty enjoyable. Like, you know, as Steve, I think in this moment realizes like, oh wow, did I cause him to relapse? Because I mean, Amanda does tell him like, you know, 2 weeks after you went to go see him, like, Brent relapsed. So it's like, it's kind of implying without saying it that, you know, he did it because Steve rejected him. And Steve's like, ah, it's not my fault. Like, I mean, doth thou protest too much, Steve. I think you realize it might be your fault.
Yeah.
But I do like Amanda's like, it's not your fault. It is his fault, but you could have been kinder. I did like Amanda not, you know, giving Steve the blame, which I mean, she shouldn't have because, yes, like people with dependency issues, like, you know, you cannot put that on other people.
Well, all of us are responsible for our own actions, right, regardless exactly. If we're engaged in an addictive behavior or not.
Right.
And so, like, that's a good reminder just in general. But yeah. It is also a good reminder to be kind because you don't know what the other person's been going through. In the situation, Steve was just, like, looking at Brent and seeing his own pain of having to take care of his mom for all of this time. When Steve is, like, trying to move past that, and not saying that they couldn't have had a conversation, I'm sure it wouldn't have been, like, all hunky-dory, oh, I love you. I love you too. Let's be bros again, you know, but they could have like worked through it. Steve shut the door before it could even get open in that situation,
yeah,
from what I could tell from the conversation.
Yeah. I just did like Amanda, even though she's like really upset at this point, she's not doing the like vindictive thing and saying, yep, it is your fault. She is acknowledging that, yes, you know, Brent was his own person and he made his own choices. But as she said, you could have been kinder. You could have listened. And not just shunned him immediately.
Do you think that's part of what she's trying to work through herself? Because I think in the last episode we saw how mean she was to Brent before he got on the plane.
She's dealing with her own guilt of, you know, kind of rejecting him herself and giving him the ring back in the moments before he got on the plane. So she's dealing with that as well. And, you know, now she's having to deal with Steve and hearing that, you know, I guess Steve lied to Daphne saying he wanted to, you know, make amends with his brother. So she's got a lot going on herself.
Yeah, she's done with this dinner.
Did you think it was going to come out at the dinner that they hooked up? Like she was going to be so mad that she would like, you know.
No, I don't think either one of them would give it up. I thought that like Amanda might infer something or Daphne would infer something. As Amanda was leaving, I just wanted Daphne to be like, okay, what is
Daphne, happening? Daphne is still so understanding and still so like, you know, there for Steve and there for everybody. I love Daphne. Let's get a Daphne spinoff. She deserves better than Steve.
She can be guesting on the Adriana and Kojo story.
Oh yeah, 100%. Daphne moves in neighbor. Next door.
Yeah, exactly.
She breaks up with Steve, moves in next door. babysits Bex sometimes while Adrian and Kojo go out to dinner. We're making our show here. Let's we're gonna go do it. We're gonna do an outline, submit it to Apple TV.
We get a short little scene of Sam where we learn he's apparently a graphic designer. And also, again, many times during this episode, I asked myself this question: why is it so dark? It was like really dark. Like, we don't need it to be like Game of Thrones dark in this show. Like, we don't need it to be Game of Thrones dark anytime, but like, it's dark.
Yeah, you're not helping with the tone of the show, with the dreariness of the show by making every scene like candle lit, basically.
Yeah, I was like, what? But he's very curious about Vernon, and this is where he starts looking him up on the internet and finds out that he works at Industry Bar, which he will go visit later. Meanwhile, Edward, after that entire awkward situation and Shay calling him an asshole, Edward is sleeping on the floor still.
My man has no vibe meter whatsoever. He cannot detect that things are awry. He's like, he's just like bebopping back and still in the Shay's room. I'm like, ain't no problem. Like,
why is Shay letting it happen? Like, if I were Shay, I'd be like, no, not tonight.
Shay's still being delicate, I guess, trying to, you know, she doesn't want to break the poor boy. But it's just like, I don't know. I wish we could have gotten some insight into into that scene. Like, wait a minute, why are you still following me into my house as if everything's cool? Like, what are you doing? He's like, what? So sleep on your floor.
Oh, man. Shay, I mean, while she's letting him sleep on the floor, she is not happy with him. She's like, you left me for 72 minutes. Very exact, Shay. And she's right. She tells Edward, like, you're the whole reason you met her. Or, like, I'm the whole reason you met her. Mm-hmm. Like, so you had no right to treat me like that, just in general. And then she does a little mocky, hi, Mahira. Hi, hi. And this, like, Edward says, this I think was a little mean. He's like, she knew my brother. She's the most important person to me in the world right now. And I was like, I'm sorry, what is happening?
Well, that's what I'm saying. My boy has no vibes. He has no chill. He has no understanding of, like, what to say, what not to say.
I could see. Okay, so like we were talking about, like, why did Mahira want to know about the crash? I totally could see it the other way in terms of like Eddie wanting to know about Jordan through Mahira.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Tell me about my brother. Like, who was he around you? Like, that whole type of thing. So I can see him like being interested, but the most important to say person that she's in the world.
The most important person in the world here right now is a lot of hyperbole.
Yeah,
you know, you could have said something a little different. Like, she's, you know, she's a fountain of information about my brother. Like, if you had, take the whole plane crash of it all out of it. If you had a deceased family member and you could get a different look into their lives, like, yeah, I think most of us would be, you know, down for that 100%. And but Eddie is taking it to an extreme in the way that he's describing, like, her importance to him. I'm like, okay.
And the wind-blown hair.
Yeah. And she's hot. Did you see her? Like, I was surprised he didn't say something like that.
It's like lining up with puberty for him. Mm-hmm. Lacey, so Edward goes back and Lacey's it's like, hey, did you have a rough night? And he's like, no, did I get any mail?
I'm mail. Why would you ask about mail? What did someone tell you something? You
know what? I'll ask your uncle. Like, yeah, we don't need to talk about it.
Mail? What's mail? What is even mail? What are you talking about?
Is that M-A-I-L or M-A-L-E?
We don't get mail. The post office, you know where we live. Well, how will we get mail? How do we get mail? I don't know what mail is.
I mean, the email? Regular mail? Yeah, email.
Which mail are you talking about?
Yeah, she was like, she should not do a good job of like doing that, but she was saved by the bell of Linda knocking on the door. And this is where Lacey gives her like all the stuff. If we remember, I think Lacey got new stuff for every pregnancy that she had. So she has a lot of stuff. And it was really interesting to see. I mean, I know Lacey's going to grief group. I don't know how time is moving in the story, but somehow Lacey's over it. Like,
I mean, I guess I can see that because everything now has really changed. Like, she has Eddie and, you know, life has kind of moved like at a light speed pace for her. Like, you know, a few months ago, she had no prospects of having a child. And now she all of a sudden has this how old is that, he 14, this 14 year old like child she has to take care of. Maybe it's maybe just like, I can't even think about that right now. I have so much stuff going on. My sister and like my whole like part of that family has died. I now have to take care of my sister's kid. Maybe it's just like, I can't make room for anything else right now. Maybe that's where she's at with it.
Yeah, I did like how she ended this conversation of like, because Lisa's like, are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to like hold on to anything? Because, you know, you could still get pregnant. And Lisa says, you know what, like, let's make a deal. You use it. And then when you're done using it, check in with me, see where I'm at. And if I need it, I'll get it back. So that is like showing that she at least has some open door in her life for that. Still ready to welcome that into her life if it happens.
Yeah, 100%. I just think she's so overwhelmed right now with Eddie and everything else going on that she put that on the back burner for now. Like she said, she may try and, you know, go there later, but she's got a lot of other things to think about, including some more John stuff. So
yeah. Linda is very, you know, appreciative. This is the kindest thing anyone has ever done for her. So I'm glad she gets.
Dee Dee's like, excuse me, I just went with you to your ultrasound appointment. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Adriana goes to the fundraiser. She's looking pretty fancy about it. And she's really good at it. She says her name like 15 times. I imagine that like if you were running for office, you'd have to say your name like 8 gazillion times.
Yeah.
She's like, can I count on your vote? And then who shows up?
Evil Pastor Eric.
And
devious Pastor Eric.
He packed his eyes. he was giving Adriana all the eyes, and he's like, hey, do you have a date? Is your roommate here? Like,
he slithers up to Adriana. Hey Adriana, here by yourself.
Yeah,
can't help but notice you're all alone.
And he like tells Adriana like, your roommate likes you. And then he says like this weird like, I see everything for you. This is in your blood. And I was like, whoa, okay. And then I told Mama Rose I'd be there for you. Well, being there for her doesn't mean you have to like be with her, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's what Grandma Rose meant. I think she meant to like get with her granddaughter. Like, yeah, just be there for her because you're a pastor. Like, you're supposed to be there for everyone. Are you trying to sleep with all of your like with your flock? Like, that's not what I meant, sir. I did like how Adrian was like, you've always had my back. He's like, yeah, even if we weren't effing with each other. I was like, sir, you are a pastor of the church. Like,
also, are you using that language? What are you doing at a political fundraiser?
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, something for the community. So yeah, maybe that's he's involving himself in the community. I understand that. But yeah, he's such a snake, this Eric guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like it. Bex is waiting backstage, ready for her big performance. I liked this little moment where everyone was telling her to break a leg, and coach was like, do not break your leg.
Don't do that.
Such a, you know, relatable immigrant situation of learning the language of your new country. Mm-hmm. And Bex is like, where's Adriana? I'm not going to go on stage without her. And Kojo, again, with the great parenting situation.
I didn't think this was so great because he really left the door open for Adriana to come, even though he had told Adriana not to come. So he was like, he kind of threw Adriana under the bus.
He did. I did. In terms of the greatness, I thought it was like, you know, you promised to do this. You have to go through with it. Like,
yes,
you
run part.
Away from your responsibilities. Yeah, he does in the same breath throw Adriana under the bus.
He's like, yeah, you know, some people are just busy. You know, she's probably not going to show up. You know, she's got other stuff to do besides worry about you, kid. This is the thing. Like, it was like, no. Could he be like, yeah, Adriana's not coming. She is busy. She does have to go.
Right.
Like, well, maybe she'll be here. Maybe she won't. I don't see her yet.
Yeah, because he says, like, people can't always be where they say they're going
to
be. Like,
as it, like, Adriana lied to you. Like, that's what he's saying. Like, she lied. She said she's coming. She's not going to come. Not like, no, she told me she wasn't going to come or something like that. Like, give it to the kid straight. Don't make her think she might still show up, even though she did show up.
Yeah and she does. She shows up like a star. Like, mm-hmm. She's like, shows up, everybody's like super happy to see her, they want selfies with her, they love her, all of this stuff. Kojo doesn't know how to feel about it.
I think in this moment, like as everyone's like hounding Adriana for like autographs, pictures, I think the moment that Kojo is like reacting to is that Adriana never let go of Bex's hand. Mm-hmm. And like she was signing autographs, she was doing all this. Like you wouldn't blame her if she let go of Bex's hand because she's having to do so much in this moment. But she stays with Bex. She holds Bex's hands the whole time through. I do think Kojo was like, maybe I shouldn't be like, you know, pushing Adriana away because she does really care about Bex and she is invested in Bex. That's not to say I still think it's not wise. I think Kojo was still in the right for wanting to distance himself a little bit, but I think he's rethinking that as he sees even more about how much Adriana cares for Bex.
Yeah, and I think like her holding Bex's hand, first of all, Bex not shying away at the same time shows that mm-hmm. she feels safe with Adriana, but she's also showing Kojo, I can do both things.
Yes.
Because she was simultaneously was doing both things at the same time. Sam finds his way to the bar, finds Vernon, who aptly asks, how'd you find me?
Like, well, first Vernon's like, who are you? As if, like, he pretended he didn't recognize him at first. I was like, okay, that's not cute.
Like, you could have texted. You had his phone number. You could have said, hey, are you working tonight? Anything, mm-hmm. you know? But no, just show up.
Yeah, because we did see Vernon texting him, like, as Sam was at his graphic designer thing, and he looks at the phone, and Vernon texts him, says, you know, if you need anything, just let me know. And he didn't even put Vernon's, like, name into the phone. I was like, that's telling. You're supposed to put the contact in there, man.
But yeah. What do you think? Would he just go under as Vernon, or do you think he'd be like, storage unit Vernon? Or,
storage unit dude. Better get his crap out by the end of the month.
Put an asterisk so it's at the top of the list. Yeah. And you can tell that like Sam is very uncomfortable during this whole thing because the first thing he says is like, I really need to close down the storage unit by the end of the month. I came here to tell you this. And Vernon's like, okay.
Vernon knows what's happening. Vernon is smart. Vernon's like, all right. Yeah. Sure. Take this drink.
Yeah. And Sam's like, I can't stay. But then they end up talking a little bit about Ben. It turns out that Vernon didn't know Ben that well. And we find out that Sam and Ben were friends in high school, but they lost touch after high school. And he saw him like 3 days before the crash ended.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, what? Like, but now you're helping clear out his storage unit.
I think they were a little bit more than best friends.
I get, but I mean, is the story about meeting back up with him 3 days before the crash? Is that real?
I have no idea.
Or is he lying at this moment to Vernon for some reason?
I have no clue. Yeah.
What Sam is saying here is that he just reconnected with him 3 days before the crash. And I'm like, if you just did that, like, how are you so involved with his storage unit, his family and everything?
Weird. Oh, and Vernon's like, what a blessing to see someone right before they go. It's like, oh, you're so precious, Vernon. Lacey is making dinner and then we get some fireworks in this relationship here because John comes home. And Linda stayed over for dinner. She's talking, like, recapping her whole trip to LA with Dee Dee and all of that stuff. Like, John comes home and Linda's like, were you on a trip or something? Like, okay, the man went home for like 30 seconds. And he's like, yeah, I was at the crash site.
This whole scene just like boggles my mind, first of all. Like, I was like, what are we doing here? I mean, first of all, I did like the scene before John comes in and Linda is telling Eddie and Lacey about, you know, her LA trip.
Yeah.
And Eddie seemed to be like, you know, as awkward as Eddie was when Linda came over there, like, as Linda tells him, like, yeah, I'm part of the grief group and, you know, my boyfriend's on a plane. Eddie's like, okay. And just start, like, takes off. Like, as uncomfortable as he was there, he seems to be, like, really getting into, like, you know, into the groove with Linda. He's laughing with her and hearing about her trip and everything. I did like that aspect of it. And then John comes in and just like brings the whole mood down immediately.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I was at the crash site. Okay. And like Lacey, you could see her like sort of plugging her ears and he's going like super deep here. He's like, I could feel all this energy and I was praying. And again, it's just like misplaced intensity for me. I was like, I have no idea. I had nothing to know about this character.
I saw this. I was like, where did all this character come from? Where did this personality come from? We didn't see any of this until last week. Like all of a sudden.
A man and his corn dogs.
I have whiplash like from this like characterization turn. Like, it's so, and even more about what's going to happen, what you're going to describe coming up. I'm like, I'm just getting whiplash all over the place.
Yeah. Lacey's like, cool. Can we talk about something else? But of course, Linda is curious about everything and thinks that it's amazing. And she continues on with recapping her trip from LA. And then Lacey gets a phone call. Randomly, it's Sam.
It's Sam. Like, what? The only interaction we ever got from Sam and Lacey was Sam giving like one, like 10 words of advice about Eddie, about bad advice, by the way,
right?
Which was for her to put her foot down about where Eddie is sleeping. That's the only interaction we got between those two characters. But now all of a sudden, Lacey gave Sam her number and told him to call her if he needed anything. Well, when? Since when?
And Sam calls her, and not only calls her, but is like coming out to her in this situation.
Yes. Can we get any type of pre-work before we do this like intense, like feeling scene? I am blown away by how there was no pre-work before this. Like,
it was like, are we supposed to feel like, I do not mean this disingenuously, just in a metaphoric way, like we're in a plane crash? Are we supposed to feel like the like impact of all of this? Because I feel like it goes from 0 to 60 so many times.
I'm just here thinking, like, instead of focusing on the moment, I'm like, did I miss something between Lacey and Sam? Like, why are they this close? Like, we got no like introduction to this. It just happened. And that happens quite a bit on this show, where I don't feel like we got enough of the pre-work done before we had these types of moments. And the same thing with John and his sojourn out to Colorado. Like, what?
I wonder, like, because in other shows this creator has done, like, he knows how to do this.
Yeah, I know that. Even though I haven't watched the shows, I know from Reputation that he's supposed to be really, really good at this.
Like, he knows how to do this. So I'm very confused, and I wonder if they were like planning for a longer season, and then we're told it's only, I mean,
maybe.
I can't see him being two seasons, but the world has surprised me in other places. But like, it just seems like there was more here that is not here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. Because like, I'm just thinking, like, as Lacey gets a call, I'm like, okay, who, in the split second before we found out, I'm like, okay, who could this call be from? And nowhere in my mind did I say Sam.
Like, right, yeah. And then not only, okay, it's Sam, but then it's Sam saying, like, I'm at a bar and a guy's flirting with me. And I'm like, did you, like, which is totally, like, you don't have to have, like, a very formal coming out thing. But it's like, did, how close are they?
Right. Like,
how close are they now is the question that I have in my mind. And, you know, Lacey gives this like advice of, you know, you're only going to blow up your life if you want to blow up your life. And because Sam is like super terrified that like if he goes and flirts back with Vernon, like he's going to blow up his life. And he talks about how he was like friends in quotation marks with Ben. But then he like met Sienna, who I didn't even know there was a Sienna.
Who is Sienna? Like, you say that as if that means something to me. Like, there has to be more to the Sam story. There has to have been the Sam scenes that were cut out of this show, because they're saying stuff like, we're supposed to know who people are. Like, who is Sienna?
Yeah, I don't know who Sienna is. And then Lacey closes the conversation by saying, try not to hurt anybody today.
Who said he was gonna hurt anybody? Who was he gonna hurt? I didn't understand that. And like, I feel like somewhere on a cutting room floor of an editing bay is a whole 10 minutes of a Sam intro where he goes and visits his family. His dad is a conservative guy who obviously would not be okay with Sam being gay. We meet his girlfriend, Sienna. I feel like there is a scene that's cut somewhere that we are totally missing because we had no context for this conversation.
There's like a picture of Sam and Ben like somewhere
from high school. House.
Yeah. Somewhere around that he like will look over and glance over during the conversation. But yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know what this was. But
can you imagine Jason Kadam's watching this episode back, and he like he finishes the episode, he like calls like the executive producer or whoever else is like director of photography. He's like, do we ever get a Sam scene? We shot a whole Sam scene. Where was that scene? Because the context made no sense at all.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of like just random, I don't know, dumping of information. Dee Dee is at home. Steve comes over and drops off her jacket that he got dry cleaned. Good move, Steve. And just like on the porch, it's like, and again, grief. There's no right way to grief. And I think this is part of it, but it's just like, here, let me just say it. Like, I abandoned my brother. Brent, and so I had sex with Amanda.
The grief group is also a group where if you have no friends to come here and you can trauma dump everything to these people, because these people have no other relationships, no other friends to talk to, but they only have the grief group to talk to, which is so interesting. I didn't want to, never mind. I'll talk about it when we get back to Lacey and John. I did have another thing to say about that, but we'll get back to that in a sec. But Steve just coming over and just like dumping his whole life onto Dee Dee was like, okay,
like
cool.
On the porch, like on yeah. the porch. He's just like, blah, blah, blah. And then Dee Dee's like, do you like crepes? Like, come on in. I'll make your crepe. And she, again, for someone who is like concerned about appearances and everything, she's inviting this man into her home with all of these like hammer things in the wall. And Steve's like, okay. And this is where we find out that the house is very, very close to foreclosure.
Yeah, no F's given from Dee Dee anymore. She's not even trying to uphold the facade anymore. You know, Dee Dee just apparently has this like really magnetic personality to people that they just feel comfortable. Like,
she's the mom, you know?
Yeah, she's the mom of the group.
She brings the cupcakes. Lacey, okay, so getting back to Lacey and John, they have a big fight.
Yeah, I did want to say, like, when John comes in earlier in the show, like, comes into the house, and the moment where it's like, and he asks, did you get my picture? He's like, yeah. It's like, did Eddie not even care? Like, because we got Eddie seeing the pictures at the end of last episode, but we got no real reaction out of that.
Well, then in this scene, like, Lacey and John are fighting about like letters and like all of this stuff, you know. And then one of the things that comes out though is like, you went to Colorado and took these pictures, but I was with him when we had to like process the pictures. I was like, it was a two-way conversation on the bench. I don't understand.
And he was just like, oh, okay, those are the pictures. That's what we kind of got from that, because we saw nothing after that. And when John comes back and he's like, did you get my pictures, bro? And he's like, yep, got them, thanks. Like, I was like, okay, then we're not gonna have any other reaction, any other like, thank you so much for doing that, it made me feel so much better, or anything like that. He was like, yep, got him. I was like, okay,
yeah, it was like,
I'm gonna dive deeper into that. Like, all right,
well, and now like Colorado has this even like more profound like weight behind it for John's experience. I did expect him to be like, did anything stand out, or how'd that make you feel, or ask at least a follow-up question?
Yes, something.
Yeah. So basically, you know, John is grieving too, is basically the entire thesis of this fight. He's like, look, I lost people too. I'm grieving. I went to Colorado. It was really profound for me. And Lacey's like, yeah, but I've been left here having to deal with everything. And John is feeling like basically like there's no space for him in his house and he has to leave. He has to go to work. And Lacey says, don't walk out now. This went to 0 to 60. Like,
but there was so much here. Let's break this down a little bit more. Like, first of all, Lacey is staying there.
Yeah,
not Lacey. That. Linda is staying there.
Yeah, yeah.
For how long? And Lacey like a while. I'm like,
when did that happen?
When are we, the audience, going to find out about that? Like, why are we finding out about it here in this conversation? And there wasn't a different conversation.
They didn't even like mention it in the garage. Like, Linda and Lacey didn't even talk about
That's where I would expect the conversation to happen.
Yeah.
Where we find out that for whatever reason, Linda, I mean, we know the reason. She talks about not being able to pay rent and all that. But we never get that conversation from between Linda and Lacey of how did this arrangement come about. And I just, again, I'm feeling like we're missing key moments in the show. That's a key moment for this episode where they would be talking about that. And again, John, like, acting completely out of the no character that he had, talks about how he's grieving his wife's family too. And I'm like, okay. Didn't seem like you really were.
Yeah, I know.
You were just kind of here. Like, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it from John. Like, I'm not feeling John right now. and Lacey and all this whole thing. I'm not feeling it.
Like, what happened to High Rescue Dude?
Yeah, just never heard from again. I'm just
like, is he in John's phone? Is he like his BFF now? Like, what's happening?
My mind's blown. I'm just like, I can't understand why they would do this to this. Like, to Kojo and Adriana are saving this stuff. Because there's so much weird about the other storylines in this.
Yeah.
Show.
Well, I think so. Before we go there, John does go to work. Do you think he's gonna go read the letters?
Is he gonna bring back the letters and like throw them on Eddie's bed or something? Be like, here are the letters.
When do you think we're getting the letters?
I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't get letters till the finale. But I also wouldn't be surprised if you got them next episode. Like, I don't know. And apparently, yeah, we're going to get to that. I've lost my place where we are. We're going to get to that later. But yeah, the John thing is the most misplaced thing in this show for
There's
me.
There's a lot of misplaced, but this is, yeah.
Right. It doesn't make any sense of how he all of a sudden got this personality, got this characterization, got these feelings. Because he just seemed, for the first three or four episodes of the show, just Lacey's husband who was along for the ride and going to support her. And now he's just this full-fledged character that has all these complex feelings that came out of nowhere.
Do you think we're supposed to infer that, like, this is a cumulative grief of his loss of pregnancies plus this? Like, because when they talk about it at the beginning of the series, it's more like Lacey's still dealing with it, and John's kind of like, we got to move on with our lives type of thing. And because maybe he didn't process that, he's having a larger, stronger reaction to this.
So maybe, but I don't think we should have to do that much work to get there.
Oh, we should not.
That's Marissa level work of digging deep into the story. That's Marissa level. We're not all at Marissa level. Yeah. Like, you gotta understand. Like,
no, I know.
The PSR people know Marissa level story, and we're not all there. Like, I'm not there. So I don't think we should have to be Marissa level thinkers to have that message relayed to us. I think show should spell out a little bit more for us. Like, I understand there's things to be subtle, things to be left for us to read, but I think that's an advanced level Marissa reading, and we're not all there.
It was a very, very, like, large reach, too. Like,
yeah, I could see that, but I don't think that we should have to work that hard to get there.
No, you like, shouldn't. This isn't a Severance. This isn't a, you know what I mean? Yeah, there are some shows where, you know, you're sitting there trying to put together the mystery, trying to figure out motivations and stuff like this, but this is like a...
Like, shows like this usually spell out to me how I should be feeling and why I should be feeling it, and that is it's usually pretty clear of what they're trying to tell us and why we should be feeling, and they do good at that. They do well with expressing emotion and why we should be feeling what we're feeling, but this show is leaving a lot on the floor and a lot to be read.
I feel like it needs to come with, like, I feel like we're watching a film strip in school that has like a discussion guide that we don't have.
Yeah. Like... And honestly it feels sloppy. Like, I don't want to disparage the show too much, because I mean, we are talking about it.
Yeah.
And there are things to really like about this show. Okay, let me say that. I like the show, but at times it's very sloppy, like,
yeah,
with its storytelling. I will say that.
And I don't like shows like, I watched Grey's Anatomy, very sloppy, but it had like some legs under it to be sloppy.
And I also wonder, like, what else has Jason Kadams done? Because we know he's done Parenthood, we know he's done Friday Night Lights, which, you know, in that model, he has a lot of episodes to tell his story.
It's like a 22 series, or typically, 22 episode series.
Right, but this is only a 10 episode series. Has he done something like this before? Is this his first time doing it? Is that why he's having trouble, like, really telling us the story?
That's a good question. Yeah, I just looked up, well, he did do Roswell, but yeah, he's been more on like the networky side of things.
Yeah, so I mean, he's used to having a lot of episodes to tell his story.
Yeah, like Parenthood in total had 103 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, even About a Boy, season,
which I forgot was a television show, had 33 episodes.
I loved About a Boy. I really did. I liked that show. I look on that show with fondness. I didn't even know that was him. Dear Edward, yeah, it seems that Dear Edward is the first show that has like less than like 20 episodes a season. So I can see that he's having trouble telling the whole story, and I think it has something to do with the you know, the shortness of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this could have been a movie too. Like, I don't know if it needed to be a,
yes,
a show. Like, the story is totally compelling enough, but we're telling it in a kind of a disjointed way.
And we're putting stuff in there like John that didn't ever need to be there.
Or like have John, but get rid of Sam and Amanda and Steve. You know what I mean? Like
get rid of half the storylines.
Give that time to like figure fine. Like giving John that time to explore the side of his faith. Like, I'm here for like a discovering yourself spiritual journey. I just didn't expect for it to just show up one day. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess that's what happens, but
yeah.
All right, going back to the story.
rant over. I think in the moment I have a theory of why it feels so sloppy and why it feels so.
Why?
I mean, because like I said, okay, because he's down to 10 episodes, yeah, instead of a usual 20 something for a season. Yeah. Well, I think that could be it.
Let's see how the rest of the series pans out, but I think you're onto something. Yeah. So Adriana and Kojo.
We did it, y'all. We here.
They're back home. Bex is in bed. Like, Kojo makes it a point to come downstairs and say, hey, Bex is sleeping. And she's like, hey, come on over. Can we talk about this? And, you know, like, they have this whole, like, conversation. And this is where we find about Eric, like, expediting the going out of the country thing. And she's like, do you really have to leave? And he's like, my family needs me. My business needs me. Like, all of this stuff. But then it's just like, look, look, kiss.
he tries, like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. And she's like, wait. Grabs his arm, pulls him in for the kiss. It you know, and the fact that he's like, yeah, my family needs me, my business needs me, really makes me wonder, like, how are they going to handle the story as it wraps up? Like, because he says his family needs him as if he is the one supporting his family over there. So how is he going to be able to really justify staying in the U.S. if that is what happens?
All I'm going to say is that the United States needs portable bathrooms too.
Yeah.
Especially scented ones.
Yeah, I mean, is he going to find business here in the U.S. and expand his empire, and so he can make enough money to live in the U.S. and support his family? I
are they
going to
be married?
Ooh, I wonder how they're going to really kind of wrap all that stuff up. Yeah. I'm very curious to see how that's going to happen. I love Adriana Kojo, the best storyline on the show in my mind.
Yeah. Back with Edward, he can't sleep. He goes down to get a snack. Linda also couldn't sleep.
But is Edward sleeping in his own bed again? It seems like.
I guess.
Did we miss a Shay kicking him out of her room scene? That's what I'm talking about. See, like, we need answers.
Oh my gosh! But this is where, like, again, this boy is accosted.
I like that.
Linda pulls up a picture of...
He's hassled.
Yeah, like, pulls up a picture of her boyfriend. It's like, did you see this man on the flight? Can you tell me about what happened? And it's like, why do we keep doing this? And she's like, you're the last person who saw him alive. You're the miracle boy. You survived. I'm like, that doesn't
mean anything. Why would you say this to this little child? Like, call him the miracle boy as if he's some sort of, like, circus sideshow. Like... that was so ugly. I was like, why would you do this?
And she's like, I know this is not fair. I'm like, yeah, so stop.
Yeah, it's
like,
not. Right, it's not fair. Like, stop being unfair to this child.
And I know we've talked about this before, like, but he hasn't been in therapy. So, like,
as far as we've seen,
who knows? There could be like a whole other.
Honestly, would not be surprised if we open up one of these episodes and he's in therapy and the therapist is like, you've been coming here for the last 6 months. And we're like, since when? Since when?
Well, but like, is this his first time really talking about?
You would think, because he seems.
Because he tells Linda that he saw her boyfriend in the back of the plane and he seemed like a nice guy, and then immediately gets on the phone and calls Mahira and tells.
The floodgates just opened.
Yeah. And I was like, are you prepared? Like, what is happening here?
I think we're supposed to get that. You know, Linda was very like she was very happy with what Eddie told her. Like, yeah, you seem like a nice guy. She, for some reason, got some sort of peace out of that information. I guess he's like, oh, that was pretty nice. Let me go ahead and give my hero some peace, you know, as well. I think that's what we're supposed to get out of that.
Sure. All right. But again, I just, anytime you have to like retell a traumatizing story, you are re-traumatizing yourself. So like every time these people are like asking this kid, I just hope he has like the coping skills to deal, you know, like that's why I really do
know he doesn't.
I really do hope that we get that, like, you've been coming to therapy for 7 weeks or whatever, because, or this will be something that pushes him in that direction, because that's a lot to like one right after another. He's like,
I would just find it so baffling if they did not have this boy in therapy the second the second he was able to like get out of the hospital. Like, I would think that would be so irresponsible of anyone taking care of this kid, not to give him some intensive therapy from having survived a plane crash.
Yeah, and I mean,
being the only one that survived a plane crash at that, of hundred, I don't know how many people fell on a plane, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's hundreds of people, but a lot of people, to be the only one survive, you should go to therapy for that.
And especially when you have like the press was at your house, like, mm-hmm, you know, like there's, it's just it's a lot.
I would have to imagine like there's some therapy going on.
I mean, but shame on the show, assumptions about the show, so I don't know.
Right, shame on the show for not spelling that out for us. Like, and I think it would be an integral part of a show like this to show that. Like, I would think,
yes. Yeah, isn't that part of the whole discussion that we're supposed to be having by right, watching the show?
That's why we're here wondering, because we think that this should be something the show would show. Seeing more of Eddie's thought processes, more of Eddie's like dealing with this, instead of just drips and drabs he's getting from his friends and his family members, like, of, you know, of these weird little lessons. But they're like, ah, he doesn't need therapy, we got it, he's fine. Like, is that the attitude they have? Like,
I like to put all this pressure on him, calling him the miracle kid, and then like basically having him perform a miracle of like telling this information and like healing these people, you know, like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Shame on Linda. Shame on you, Linda, for this, because this, like, was here unnecessary.
I get it. Like, yeah, here as a kid.
Here as a hormonal teenager, whatever. But,
well, Linda's pregnant, so she's got, but still.
That's like, true, but I mean, but, you should still know better.
Yeah, she's the adult in the situation. Mm-hmm. Speaking of adults and situations, Adrian and Kojo are being adults.
They are having quite an adult situation in this, like, montage.
I was not expecting it to go there.
Didn't expect it to go that far, but we've seen stuff. We've seen a Steve and Amanda. We opened with Lacey, with Lacey and John doing,
yeah,
the horizontal mambo. But I didn't expect it to go so, I was gonna say hard, but I don't think
I get you. I gotcha.
I don't think I'd expect to go in that direction so soon with Adrian and Kojo. Like, we went from kiss to bed like real fast.
Well, you know, he's leaving soon, you know,
we gotta get it in.
So, and Vernon went to go, or Sam went to go flirt with Vernon, but Vernon was already flirting with someone else. But he's also a bartender at a bar, so I think he
was just leaving and, yeah, just noticing Vernon as he was leaving. I think he just, oh, I think, okay, he may have, I think we're supposed to read that as he chickened out of, you know, going to go talk more with Vernon, and he's just like longingly looking at Vernon as he's leaving. What could have been with Vernon?
Well, Vernon out the door, show up at Grief Group the next day.
I would not be surprised at all.
Steve, you know, does have his crepe at Dee Dee's and is reviewing her finances. So maybe there's some help he
is
can
Steve
give
about
here
to save Dee Dee? That would be interesting. I would, that would justify Steve's existence for me if he saved Dee Dee.
And then Edward is on the phone with Mihira still and basically just saying, like, we just knew that it was gonna happen. And I, mm-hmm, you know, that is something that you'll hear in disaster situations. Like, we just knew it was going to happen and just kind of accepted the fate. And the reason why he is so clung on to Jordan is because, like, I couldn't go to my mom. No one could come for me. Jordan was, I guess, alive longer and basically sitting next to Eddie mm-hmm. on the plane and said, you know, like, hey, we're going to swim in the ocean together. He was my hero. We did see those scenes of them in the ocean at the start of the series. So that was a nice little callback to that. And then I was like, is Eddie crying?
He's letting it out.
Yeah.
Letting out those feelings.
That was this episode of Dear Edward.
Yo, this show was crazy. This show is something else. This is a show unlike any other show I've covered, I've seen. It's an interesting ride, I will say. And I'm enjoying it for that reason. Yeah. It's so weird and awkward. And for the fact that, you know, I get to podcast about it with you, Marissa. Okay. That brings my enjoyment to it even more. But this show is weird, man.
I feel like instead of saying like life is like a box of chocolates, we could say like life is like a Dear Edward episode, because you never really know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, like, you never know how like crazy is gonna be every episode we jump into.
Well, any predictions before the next one? We've got three left. Any shots? 7, 8.
We got four left.
Yeah.
I can't call shots. I can't call any shots because this show is so unpredictable that we have no idea what's going on.
Only thing I think is predictable enough is there will be some sort of grief group picnic.
Oh, you think so?
We'll get everybody together.
You think we get more people meeting Edward? Because that was an interesting wrinkle that, you know, we hadn't gotten really before, was other people from the grief group meeting Edward.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting. Grief group picnic, everyone come together. I think we should see more at the grief group, though. I'd like to see that more of the process there. Well, Adrian and Kojo, is Kojo going to stay? I would assume so. I'm interested to see
because if he leaves, he's not only leaving Adriana, he's leaving like he's doing the damage to Bex in the situation too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
So I think he's going to stay put, but we shall find out in the remaining four episodes. Other than this show, what other shows are you talking about these days, Jason?
Me and Sasha Joseph here on Post Recaps just wrapped up the show Extraordinary. Interesting show, fun mm-hmm. show for the most part. Come here, our thoughts about that.
Say it's extraordinary.
I would say parts of it are extraordinary. So come listen to us wrap up that show. It was only 8 episodes. We did 2 episodes of podcast, so only 4 podcasts as you go through that journey. Also on the Rob Has Podcast or Hap Ups Network, I'm doing a couple things. We're talking about the show Perfect Match on Netflix. Basically a all-star lineup of reality show douches from the Netflix universe come together and be weird together.
Talk about a mess, sloppy.
It's messy big time. I am talking about that with Asia Welch and with Kirsten McInnes. And then we're also talking about the show Married at First Sight. I'm talking about that again with Asia Welch on our show A Perfect Match, not to be confused with the other show I talked about, Perfect Match. They stole our name basically.
They sure did.
I'll put that out there. So come listen to me and Asia talk about Married at First Sight. We have a lot of fun over there. You don't even need to watch the show to get into the podcast. So come check all that stuff out. You can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. Marissa,
yeah,
what do you got?
Oh, well, I got you. I'm talking about you.
I got you.
We're talking about you, me and LaTanya Starks. We are in the middle of parts 1 and parts 2. So our coverage is doing some feedback, making some predictions. We're going to have a death draft soon. See how the series wraps up as a whole. I would say it probably will be better. Like, if you haven't watched part 1, hold out for part 2. That's literally what I'm going to say about that. Like, watch it all at once. The break is kind of weird. But anywho, talking about you, I am also going to be kicking off coverage of Daisy Jones and the Six with Sarah Ferguson. And then the month of March is coming. So there's a lot happening here on Potion Recaps. So you'll be able to see all of us somewhere at some point. And if you're interested in what I will be up to, you can always follow me on Twitter at Mars Bars, MarzBars. Jason. Would you like to write a letter?
Yeah. mm-hmm. Dear Edward, mm-hmm. don't even think about it. Mahira is totally out of your league. Plus, that's your dead brother's girlfriend. Not cool, bro. Not cool. Sincerely, Jason and Marissa.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.